your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm 107. Last week we started a series on Thanksgiving. And we thought to take Thanksgiving from a different perspective, to look at the life of a gentleman by the name of Asaph. We looked at Psalm 73. I'm not going to go through the thing again. But from Psalm 73, we were able to see the life of this gentleman called Asaph. I'll tell you a little bit about him again today, because I'm going to refer a little bit to him as well before I go into today's service. Asaph is one of the very few people that grew up in the temple of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. He started out his life as a Levite, started out his life as a disciple, as a servant of the Lord. So he was born into a Christian family, in quote. All their lives in the family, they've always served God. Nobody told me I still have my scarf on. No wonder I was very hot. Nobody told me in this church. Nobody corrected me. All right, that's not part of the sermon, by the way. So you thought, no, it's not part of the verse. So he started out 20 years old. And as he started and progressed in the presence of the Lord, David took him on as a worship leader. So he was a leader, a worship leader. He was a poet. He was a teacher of God's word. And he was what you would consider a church leader today, if there was a church like that. Levites are the people that are given the authority to come into God's presence, to come and worship God in God's presence. But this particular Levite, David decided that he can stay in the courts of the Lord. So he didn't stay in the city that the Levite stayed in. He stayed in God's temple alongside the king. He was a very special Levite. Apart from David, he wrote the highest number of Psalms in the Bible. He wrote 12 Psalms. So that seems to be a very important person. But in Psalm 73, we saw a few things about him, that despite his experience with God, he's been with God, he's served God for 80 years. 80 years solid, every single day in church. And it got to a point, he was experiencing a hard time. And he said in Psalm 73, so go back and read it and then listen to last week's service, sermon. He said in Psalm 73, he was going on about his experience. Come on, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I do all these things, and still, things are not going right for me. How about people that don't come? And he was actually talking about people that didn't do what he was doing, people that didn't come to church. And he went on about the fact that people that were not believers, that they were experiencing so much prosperity, in quotes, and that if you read that scripture, like Pastor Femi was saying on Sunday, it's very funny. He said, they eat so much, their eyes bulge out. They've got so much. I don't even have enough. They have so much. And he went on and on about how well everybody else was doing. The Bible says, and then he came into the court of the Lord. And when he came into the court of the Lord, God was able to show him what would be the end of those people. And then he went ahead and said, but I choose. As for me, I choose. Despite what I see, I chose to give thanks to the Lord. So we said last week that thanksgiving is a choice. Today we're talking about the fact that thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Again, we're looking at this life of this gentleman called Asaph. But before we look at his life, let's turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I will need you to take your pen and paper, because I'm going to teach you some things from the Old Testament and I'm going to add it to modern day. So I don't want to lose you, but I need you to understand. Psalm 107 from verses 21 to 22. It says, if you read from verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord for his good, and his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the land, from the east and the west and the north and the south. And then from there, he then went to 21 to 22. Say, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thanks offering. Tell of his works with songs and joy. Let them sacrifice thanks offering. So there's something called the sacrifice of thanks offering. As I was thinking about that, I looked at some of us and what we consider thanksgiving. I read a story during this week of a little boy called John. And John went with his dad and mom to go visit grandma, because it was Christmas season. They were going to sit down and eat a meal together. And when they were just about to eat, Dad said to John, John, why are you talking into your food without praying? He said, but I don't need to pray. He said, but you need to pray. Every time we eat, we pray. We give thanks. For some of us, that's all we understand Thanksgiving to be. So John said, well, but we don't need to give thanks and pray here, because this is grandma. Grandma knows how to cook. And grandma's food is delicious, so it doesn't need prayers. I don't know whether you grew up in a home where you think prayers is what we do when it's not working, right? Prayers is just one of the things we do. Prayers is what mom and dad default to when they don't know what to do. Or Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is more than what we just pray over a meal. Whether the meal is nice or not. Whether mom knows how to cook or not. Thanksgiving is bigger than that. And the gentleman Asaph, he wrote Psalm 50. And he was again talking about the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. But I was reading earlier and I realized the very first place that Thanksgiving occurred in the Bible is in the book of Leviticus. But before I go to Leviticus, I want to show you something in the book of 1 Chronicles about this gentleman called Asaph. I told you we're looking into his life. So we talked about his life from the perspective of making a choice to thank God despite what he was going through. Today we're going to talk about his life from the perspective of giving sacrifice or being sacrificial with his thanksgiving. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I need you to have your pen and paper because I'll mention a few scriptures today. It says they brought from verse 1, they brought the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offering and fellowship offerings before God. And then David had finished sacrificing the burnt offering and the fellowship offering, and he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisin to each Israelite man and woman. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make the petition, to give thanks, to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. Zechariah was the second, and he went ahead. And verse 6 says, and Benaiah and Jezael and the priests were to blow the trumpets regularly before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. If you turn that same scripture towards the end of it from verse 37, it says in chapter 16, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 37, it says, David left Asaph and his associates before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirement. He also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with them. Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduel, also Hosea, were gatekeepers. I don't know if you remember the gentleman called Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was not even a Levite. Obed-Edom was not even meant to be there. Obed-Edom was the Gittite, a stranger that took the ark of the Lord into his house. And because the ark of the Lord was present in his house, God blessed him so much. When they moved the ark, he decided to uproot his family. I think I've preached about that a while ago, about how he decided to uproot his family and brought them along. And he had 68 people as his associates, not the family members only, that moved with him. And everybody became, from being an extremely rich man, he became a gatekeeper in the presence of the Lord. But the Bible made us understand that Asaph and this guy, they were constantly in God's presence. They constantly offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praises, even when things did not look right for them. When we're looking at the book of Psalm 73 last week, the gentleman Asaph just lost his brother. His brother died. He was serving the Lord. His brother died in the temple of the Lord. When people came to invade the temple, invade Jerusalem. So they died in service, as it were. Yet, he said, I made a choice. I don't know how great life has been for you this year or how great you wanted it to be that it is not. But I can tell you that Thanksgiving is not just what we offer when we feel great. It's not just what we offer, particularly for you that take time out to serve and to come in on a Friday. It's not just what you offer when it's going rosy. It is what you offer when it doesn't feel rosy as well. Because Thanksgiving is never, it's never about your feelings. So where is Thanksgiving from Leviticus? I want to tell you a little bit about the elements of Thanksgiving. Then I'll talk about the expression of it and the effect of it. Okay? The elements of Thanksgiving. And I really do need you to follow me because I want to talk about offerings. The book of Leviticus is a book many of us would run away from. For the very first time, the word thanksgiving was mentioned in the Bible is in Leviticus chapter 7. All right, I will explain it, so don't panic when I read it. I'm going to read verses 11 to 15. These are the regulations of the peace offering. A person may present before the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with the thanksgiving offering is to offer a cake of bread, made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast, spread with oil, cakes in fine flour, well kneaded and mixed with oil. along with his fellowship offering or his peace offering of thanksgiving, it is to present an offering with cake of bread made with yeast. Now, don't forget, the first one said without yeast. The second one said with yeast. It says, it is to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The meat of the peace offering of thanksgiving must be eaten in the same day, and it must be offered in the same day it is offered, and he must leave none of it till the next day. So may the Lord bless the reading of the word, and you are now confused. I'll explain it. In the book of Leviticus, or in the Old Testament, God had a system. God has a people. God was taking these people on a journey. He had a system. The system was not wiped out by Jesus coming. The system was just made different by Jesus coming. So what we see in the Old Testament is always, they call it a type of what is in the New Testament. There are five different types of offerings primarily. Two of them are mandatory. Three of them are voluntary. The mandatory ones are the sin offering and the one they call the atonement. That is for all your sins. So you bring a goat and kill the goat and all those things. But the voluntary ones, the first one is the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the third one is the peace offering. The peace offering, the thanksgiving offering is given alongside the peace offering. That is, thanksgiving is voluntary. That's where we're going. Thanksgiving offering is part of the peace offering, and it is deemed as if it's a voluntary offering. Now, why is that important? When you have your burnt offering, it's an animal you bring. So you would think an animal is very, very, very important, and it is. But they have cattle, and it wasn't a big deal. If you read this scripture, it's talking about more like, so you bring the animal, and then you bring the grain offering, which is the second offering. That is, this thanksgiving offering, the peace offering, comprises every voluntary offering you can think about. So the grain offering, why is that special? You would think an animal is more important than seeds or the flowers, than whatever the grain is. But it's not. Because they were nomads. They were traveling. They didn't have anywhere to plant seeds, to plant anything. So if they had any harvest, it is from the past. It is their seed. It is something important to them. They might not be able to get back tomorrow. And God said, bring it as part of your thanksgiving. So bring the animal. Okay, they have animals, they are nomads. You know, they have animals. Animals produce animals every day. But they are walking through a desert. There is no way of planting any other thing that will produce result for them tomorrow. So when God is saying, bring this to me, he's saying, give me something that is so valuable to you that you won't be able to get back tomorrow. Give me something that it's a seed. It belongs to your tomorrow. But give me out of it and trust me that I will take care of you. But it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. But if you do it, there are effects, and I'll talk about the effects later. You see, the things of God that brings results that many of us talk about tomorrow, we all have standard things we do. So you give your offering as you like. You give your tithe. It's compulsory based on what you have. Pastor has preached about that extensively on Sunday, so I'm not going to preach about that. But when it comes to the things that move the house hands of God, God checks what you've got in your storage. When you bring it, he knows what it is. Are you really bringing your seed? Somebody say, oh, do you know what? When you bring a cattle, it's bigger than the flour that you're going to make. And God said, no, actually. That flour is seed. It belongs to your tomorrow. Because you're never going to be able to stay anywhere long enough to plant anything else for it to grow, for you to have more seed next time. And flour is a big part of their daily diet. They don't eat anything without bread in that place. So any seed that they have gathered in Israel, in Egypt, when they started their journey, if they ever did, could have been for their meal. But hey, that didn't matter, did it? Because God was feeding them every day. But they had something in storage against their future. And God said, give me that thing you have in storage against your future. But God is going to be reducing every day. We don't know when we're going to get to this place you said we're going to get to. He said, still bring it to me and let me know whether you trust me as part of the thanksgiving offering. There are a few things that were said there that is very important about thanksgiving. A few elements I want to pick up for you. The first one is that sacrifice of thanksgiving gives you peace. That same sacrifice they talked about there, it says, bring it alongside your peace offering. Some of us don't have any sense of peace because we don't have any sense of thanksgiving. If you're genuinely thankful for where you are at, where God has brought you, what you have done, you will have peace of mind. If you don't have peace in any area of your life, do me a favor, start thanking God for that area. Consciously start thanking God for that area. To bring along a peace offering, it says in verse 11, it said, then these are all the regulations of peace offering a person must present if he offers it as an expression of thanksgiving. When you bring your peace offering, you offer it alongside as an expression of your thanksgiving. So if you're a thankful person, you will experience the peace of God. Now that is something you can't buy with money. Peace is something you can't buy. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you lack the peace of God, it's as if the money is insignificant. So let me just remind you that if God has given you peace this year, you need to thank him. If you're not experiencing peace in a particular area, any area whatsoever, you need to thank him more, because it means that thanksgiving is missing. The second thing to note there from verses 12 to 13 is that your sacrifice of thanksgiving must be made for all things. Now, there is the burnt offering, there is the grain offering, and then there is a peace offering. It says they offer it as for thanksgiving, and then they offer with the sacrifice unleavened cake, which is the bread, mixed with oil, another very expensive product, because they were nomads, they were moving. If they had oil, it's the one they had from where they came from, or the last battle they fought. They're not likely to get another. They don't know when they will get another. And it's a very big part of their culture, their meals. Unleavened wafer, anointed with oil. Cakes, blended and mixed with oil. In fact, the next verse then said they can bring ones that are leavened as well. Now, usually when God is talking about leaven and unleavened, that is some things that are bad in their culture, in that context, when they say something is leavened, it means it is bad. It's got yeast in it. Yeast can permeate anything and change the content. That's what it's saying. So God said, look, don't do things that have... So you see a lot of, use unleavened bread. That is, use something that doesn't have any element of sin in it or bad in it or failure in it. So he said to them, say, bring the ones that good and the bad. Put it together on this altar of thanksgiving. Good things, bad things that happened to you this year, in all things, give thanks. Now, pretty unusual for God to say to bring the leaven and the unleavened together. He never says that. He always separates the leaven from the unleavened. The one that has yeast, the one that is considered in the interpretation as bad things, are separated. They are never brought into God's presence. This is the only offering you can bring to God that combines both leaven and unleavened together. That is, giving thanks, irrespective. Good things and bad things. Give thanks in all things. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 is a New Testament version of that. Go back and read it. The next one there is a sacrifice is to be offered to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 14. I'm just picking out a few of the elements. I just want to pick five things from it. The first one is that the sacrifice of thanksgiving produces peace. The second one is the sacrifice of thanksgiving must be offered for everything, good, bad, and ugly. The third thing is that the sacrifice of thanksgiving is to be offered to the Lord. It says that, and from it, he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave or as a waver offering. Now, when the priest gives an offering to the Lord, there are three different styles of offering management, as they will put it. So some offerings are specifically for God only. The sin offering, the atonement, for God only. Nobody eats it. You just kill it on the altar. The blood is given to God, and the skin is burnt, and God accepts it as a sweet-smelling aroma. Some other offerings are actually given to the priests. So you bring it to the presence of the Lord, but it's for the priests. Another set of offering are waved unto the Lord, and then different portions of it, one portion will be given to God, and that's what happened with this thanksgiving offering. One portion given to God, one portion given to the priest, and the other portion, everybody eats it together as a fellowship. So another, some Bible have it as fellowship offering, peace offering is the same one. So God was saying in this place, as the priest comes, they wave this offering before the Lord. Thanksgiving is to God. That sacrifice, it's woven to God. You wave it to God. It's not for any man. So it says they heave it to God, or they wave it as an offering to the Lord. It doesn't matter what has happened to you this year. Your thanksgiving does not belong to any man. No man is responsible for where you are. If you have anybody in your life and say, I've got to give thanks to this uncle and this auntie and this auntie and this auntie, and you forget God, then you've got a big problem. A thanksgiving offering. Yes, you're bringing it into God's presence. It is to God alone. That's another element to pick from that. The last one I'm going to talk about in the element, there are about seven things to pick from that, but let me just give you five. The fifth one is that thanksgiving offering must be offered every single day. Look at that scripture. It said they must sit down together, eat it together, and it must be finished that day. Then tomorrow is another day to bring another thanksgiving. So this whole giving God thanks once in a week when he does well, it's not going to fly. If you really genuinely want to experience the peace of God, the abundance of God, the grace of God, that is not how to do it. If you are here and you want to know how to do things right as a believer, because at the end of the day, like, Pastor says something, that when you're a Christian, you're a Christian. If you're not going to be a Christian, don't be one. But at least, you know, when you're going to hell, you know you've really enjoyed whichever ride you are on. But if you are here, do it right so you can get the blessings and the benefit that comes from it. When you are going to be thankful, understand that you're thankful for everything. Ephesians 5:20. Understand that it is offered unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16. Understand that it's a daily thing. We give a sacrifice of thanksgiving every single day. It is not offered to any man, and it's fresh every day. Psalm 118, verse 24. Every single day. Someone says, before they get out of their bed, they write 10 things down. It takes a lot to write down in the morning, particularly when you don't feel like standing up. They write 10 reasons why they are thankful that day. And they said, since they started doing that, they felt that they saw more and more things that God has done for them. She was sharing with me. I didn't have that practice. And when she was sharing this with me, that she writes 10 things every single morning when she wakes up that God has done. And that she realized that the more she did that, the more she had other things to thank God for the next day. But why don't you just do that? Why don't you just change the way you see your life? Thanksgiving is voluntary. But these are some of those voluntary services that brings a lot of reward. So those are some of the elements of Thanksgiving. So now that I've shown you the elements, some of the things that this gentleman did, let's now look at how do we express our Thanksgiving, the expressions of Thanksgiving. The very first one, which a lot of us know, is a sacrifice of praise. How do we express our sacrifices or our sacrifices that we've talked about? Sacrifice of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise. Now we say this, we say it a lot. Whatever we mean, it's a completely different thing. I can never forget when we were in our youth service, we served in the same state, Pastor Reddy and I, but at the company that we're in, we went to two different organizations. So it was with the Central Bank. And they were all taken to somewhere in the north of our country for their own induction. And they were there. While they were there, I think somebody within the group decided he was going to swim, and he dived into a shallow pool, bumped his head, and he died. And it was a very tough one. You know, everybody was there, all excited, and all of a sudden somebody just packs up in a very, very dramatic way that everybody can see. And he was saying to me, he recounted this to me, he said, when everybody was traumatized, so the fellowship, the people that are Christians, they decided to come together and to praise God. And people were really like, I don't feel like praising God. Why would God let this happen kind of thing? The attitude wasn't right. Some that were sad were sad. Some that were angry with God. You know, I mean, come on, God, why? This person just finished university. The whole of their lives ahead of them. Why would you let it happen? And all those things. And they were singing. He said, there's a song we used to have that would bring a sacrifice of praise unto our God. He said, and it was very obvious people did not want to bring a sacrifice of praise. So he now said to them, he said, what is a sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? If it is not costly, it's not a sacrifice. If it doesn't feel like something I don't feel like doing, it is not a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice because you don't feel like praising. It is a sacrifice because it's costing you something. Do you remember what we read earlier? That's a very costly sacrifice in the Old Testament. Very costly, even though it's voluntary. Can you imagine you're among people? 10 of you. One person bringing one day, we all eat the fellowship offering. Another person brings the next day, we all eat their own. After a while, will everybody not be wondering when are we going to eat your own? Or do you not think so? Like a little bit of social pressure that, okay, we've eaten my son's birthday cake. I've eaten their own, but you have a son. Now, when are we going to eat your own son's birthday cake too? Do you not feel that? That's why your children come back from school and say, well, I went to Joe's birthday and John's birthday and Faith's birthday. When is my birthday, mommy? That is, I've eaten their cake. I've gone to all their parties. Even if you didn't have the money, you got to find it. That was a very expensive way of living life. It was voluntary. But there were other things around you that could make it non-voluntary. If you see what I mean. If you are in a group, it becomes interesting because we all ate somebody else's fellowship offering. So when are we going to eat your own? But here we are. We're saying you don't need to bring a physical fellowship offering that anybody is eating today. You just need to bring a sacrifice of praise. That is, whether it's convenient or it's not convenient, you bring it to God. Whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, you give me, bring it to God. Whether you're tired or you're not tired, you bring it to God. Whether God has done well in your mind or has not done well in your mind, you bring it to God anyway. Because there are many times when we are short-sighted, when we think God has not done well or God has not done something for us. Whereas God has something bigger that he has in stock. One of the greatest sacrifices you can bring to God is a sacrifice of praise. It doesn't cost you a lot. It just costs you your mouth. It just costs you your words. It just costs you appreciating God just for who he is. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It had nothing to do with how you feel. It has a lot to do with what God wants. And that's the way it went in the Old Testament. It's about what God wants. It wasn't the way they felt like doing it. It was God's order that they just followed. The second sacrifice is a sacrifice of a person. So the sacrifice of praise, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The sacrifice of you as a person. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And I want us to read that scripture. What are the sacrifices that we will bring to our God? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. If you're genuinely thankful, you will bring a sacrifice of praise. If you're genuinely thankful, you will bring a sacrifice of your person to God. It says, Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, it says, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your reasonable service. This is what God expects from you. Offer your body to him. Your body is too busy for everybody but God. If you're genuinely thankful, you offer your body to God. You offer your body voluntarily. You offer your body completely and committedly. I remember my mentor used to say to me that many of us think that we have been crucified in Christ and we are dead in Christ, but we're not dead, we're just in coma. So we're lying on the altar, and when something happens and you're not happy about it, your old self just rises up and takes over whatever it is that God is already doing, because it didn't matter at that moment, you just have to display. I want to say to you that part of your thanksgiving is your offering or sacrifice of your person. I was reading a little bit about how the sacrifices were done then, and I realized that they actually have something called flesh hook that they used to pin the sacrifice on the altar because it's fresh meat and it slips off. Just the same way some of us slip off God's presence. Our own two flesh hooks this time, they're usually, if you want, genuinely speaking, devotion and discipline. That's what will keep you. Thanking God when you don't feel like it. That's what will keep you sacrificing your person, your body to Christ when it is not comfortable. The hook of devotion, the hook of discipline. Christianity is about discipline. Christianity, if you like, we read earlier on in the book of Leviticus, it's about following rules. I mean, there are rules upon rules upon rules, and you wonder how they remember. We don't even have so many rules, yet we find it difficult. But the truth of the matter is, just the same way, say you want to start driving a car, you look at the whole thing, it looks very complicated. You ask yourself, how many things do I need to remember at once? But you take it a step at a time, and before you know what to do. In fact, you don't think about it anymore, you just do it. You don't think the ABC of driving and all those things that comes with it. There are some indicators in your car you've never used in your life because it's not relevant, or maybe it's there and you just don't know it's there, but you just begin to live it and you begin to get better and better and better at it. The sacrifice of your person is a big one if you're genuinely thankful. How much of you has God taken this year? How much of you? How much of you is present for God this year? Some of you are physically present, your mind is not present, your spirit is not present, you're just there so that nobody harasses you for not coming. Some of you are not even present at all. You are thankful to God in quotes, but you are not in his presence. So how do you show that he has your person? Your person is a big sacrifice. If you're thankful, you will be here. He kept you through the week. It didn't matter what happened. He still kept you anyway. That's a sacrifice. I was watching, you know, what happened in France this last week, where children went, it was just a school bus ride, school time. It's not even a holiday. They weren't even going anywhere special. And then the man ran across the train line. The thing cut the bus into two, and four or five or six children, so far as I'm counting this evening, now have lost their lives. Children, yours go out, they come back in, and you still think you're too busy for God. That's not a sacrifice of thanksgiving. When we serve God, my question to you, my sister, my brother, is how much is it really costing you? If it costs you your sleep, it's costing you something. I would have come, Pastor B. I'm just so tired. But when you are not tired, it's not a sacrifice. But the thing is, it's voluntary though. So never forget that. It's voluntary. It's not compulsory. The compulsory thing is you're giving your life to Christ. The compulsory thing is that you've got the blood of Jesus working for you and you are living right. But the voluntary bits, there are lots of blessings attached to them that you don't even see, including the peace of God. It's very interesting that the compulsory one did not have peace attached to it. It just gives you assurance that you're going to heaven. But if you want to enjoy peace, unlimited, sacrifice your person. The next one, sacrifice of prayers. Psalm 141 verse 2. The sacrifice of prayers. We've talked about the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of your person, the sacrifice of prayers. It's genuinely expected of you to sacrifice prayer, if you're thankful. Sit down or kneel down and pray for somebody else. When you pray for yourself, that's not a sacrifice of prayer. Let my prayers be set before you, like an incense, the lifting up of my hands in an evening sacrifice. When God is looking for who has sacrificed for other people this year, will he count you? This is your issue. You have prayed about it the whole of last year. You prayed about it the whole of the year before. You prayed about it. Do you not think you are tired? Are you not tired? Why don't you just get 10 people that are going through the same challenge and say, God, every evening I will give a sacrifice of prayer to you concerning this matter as it relates to somebody else. When we were in our previous, when we were in our church, our very first church in Nigeria, we had a particular couple. They were believing God for a child. They were very popular. They were the two of them were the pastors in charge of junior church then, and they didn't have a child. They served like there was no tomorrow. The children, you couldn't tell that they didn't own all of the over, you know, as at that time, only 300 children as at that time. Now it's thousands and thousands and thousands. You couldn't know. And one day, this is a pastor now. This gentleman was saying that one day they made up their mind that from that day onwards, every single day, they will start praying, having a prayer chain for every other person's child, and they will never pray about their own issue again. By the time they were going to have children, they had a set of triplets. Because God rewards. God rewards sacrifice of prayers. Enough prayer points, enough of you being the prayer point every time. Enough of you knocking the door of him and saying, God, I've come again. You know, I told you last year you didn't remember. Let's try again this year. Maybe you will remember. Why don't you just change tactics? Why don't you just change tactics and just say, you know what? From now onwards, I'm going to pray about this for other people, a sacrifice of prayers. When God is looking for people that put their voluntary time into sacrificing, will he find you? Will he find you? Would you take time out to come and join the prayer team and pray for other people and their needs? Or are you the one that submits needs every week? They must get one from you because the problem is such a big problem, the whole church has to find out that it's a problem. And it is good to have people that pray with you. There's nothing wrong with that. It is good to have people that agree with you. There's nothing wrong with that. But never allow that problem, like Pastor was saying last week, become so big that it makes your God look insignificant. Because that's the plan of the devil. The plan of the devil is to make that issue look so big that it will overwhelm you, take you over, and anything that is, you know, all the compulsory things you will do. But anything that is voluntary, they will never find you. They will never find you. Well, if it's church service, I'll be there on Sunday, unfailingly. Friday,
it's kind of voluntary. Tonight is not really the night to go out. It's a bit cold. It's a bit windy. It's a bit breezy. Is this, is that, and the other. Oh, let's go and pray. Oh, I can't do that today. Let's fast. I can fast on Wednesdays because it's almost compulsory in our church. If anybody sees you eating daytime, they kind of think, you know, you might bump into a church member at lunch. What are you doing here? You know, you know that kind of thing. They won't ask you. They'll just look at you funny. You kind of hide your plate when they are coming because we fast on Wednesdays. But, I mean, that extra, would you do it? And would you do it for anybody? The next one is a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of a person, the sacrifice of your possession. I'm not going to go too much into that because Pastor spoke about it on Sunday extensively. Your sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything is not a genuine sacrifice to God. If sacrificing to God does not cost you your possession includes your time, but much more importantly, it includes your treasure. Don't push aside the things that have to do with voluntary giving in God's house. Because it's in the voluntary that God actually looks at the heart of the people he rewards, and he rewards them accordingly. Ah, well, it's an offering. I can choose to do it as I like. I remember saying to my children, it was the beginning of, 2 years ago now. I think everybody's grown this year, and they got smarter and better. The beginning of last year, I said to them, how much are you, I asked each person when we come into church, how much are you giving God? I mean, it's not my business how much they give God. But I have to be a great custodian. We're in the car, we're coming. We're talking about what we're going to be doing for God this year. So we asked both of them, how much are you giving God in each service? So one mentioned it and the other said, is it me or you said the same thing 2 years ago? They said yes. I wouldn't say he or she so they wouldn't know who. They said yes. I said, your parents have given you a raise. When are you going to give God a raise? Your employer has given you a raise. When are you going to give God a raise? Life has given you a raise. A raise. Raise? Raise. When are you going to give God a raise? It's voluntary. Nobody cares, but God knows. Which of your possession does God really, really own? I know people say, God, if you just give me a car, and then you get this car, and say, please, could you give a church member? I'm actually turning here before I get here. You just don't want to be made uncomfortable. Your discomfort, you know, I just like my space. Who doesn't like their space? But if you don't sacrifice, there's so much you don't get. When we were living in Cyprus, we were staying in the farm, and then we had to move to town, and we stayed with the couple, and, you know, something happened around the same time. The couple decided they didn't want us in their home anymore. They said they needed the home. True or not doesn't really matter now. So we moved. We were homeless. We had a child and we were homeless. Then a group of boys that are Muslims took us in. We had Christians that we knew. We had, you know, one or two people that we knew that are Christians. They gave us all the reasons why they couldn't house us. And these Muslim boys, who were from Bangladesh, were sharing, it was only a two-room, and they were students. There were 8 of them in a two-room accommodation, all boys. And they decided to vacate one of the rooms. We're not paying rent. They just housed us. Vacated one of the rooms for us. Because Pastor Eddie was married, because, you know, I'm a woman. Now, it wasn't even because they were waiting for me to cook, because they are such great cooks. They cook for everybody, and that's the way they live their lives, very communal. And they gave us this accommodation to stay in. Not long after, we got a place. We got a two-bedroom place. And I remember at some point, there was a particular brother that was, we said we're going to get the second room so that anybody that ever becomes homeless for any reason or don't have any accommodation over their head, God will use us to be a blessing to them, and they will be staying in that room. Because people that we did not know, people that did not deserve to house us, decided to house us. So we got to pay back somehow. We got to bless somebody. So we, you know, had a few people come in. So we first of all had this American missionary lady, Caucasian lady. She was squeaky clean. She was like a cat. So I didn't have a problem with it. Now, I don't do dirt very well. So she came, she stayed with us, and when time was right, she went back to America. We had another person, you know, and it was all good until one brother came to stay with us. Now, this brother is a great brother, but he's a single brother. So, yeah, well, I think he just married, and then he came to Cyprus. So all the things that goes with hygiene and thinking about a lady will use the bathroom after you, it just had no clue about it. And I remember, I'll go to the bathroom, I'll run out and I'll say to Pastor, you have to go and clean that place because you're a friend. Forgetting that somebody put a roof over my head when I had nothing. Then the fact that somebody used the loo in a particular way or used the bathroom and didn't wash it well was not mattering to me. And then one day he called me and said, Bola, as God will have it, it didn't take long. Maybe it was a week or two. He said, okay. He said, I'd rather you don't complain because we're on a path God wants to bless us in and I will not want us to complain. If when he finishes showering, I will be taking it upon myself to go and wash his bathroom for him. Don't complain. I remember that day I felt so bad. I said, God, when I had nowhere to stay, I didn't need a clean house. These gentlemen we stayed with, they were not clean. There were 8 boys. The bathroom was only one. So you can imagine, that was awful. But because I had a need, I didn't mind my space. Then when I had that little space, I wanted my space and I wanted all my things clean. I don't want anybody touching this, doing that. What is the problem? Would you really genuinely sacrifice your possession to God, including that your space? So anyway, God helped me. I got born again. I changed. I was not surprised. And we housed this brother way beyond our thought, a long time. But when we got to England, last minute just before we came to UK, the person that was meant to house us decided she couldn't do it anymore. Just the last minute. And God raised another person that did it without, she didn't murmur once. She had every reason on the surface to murmur. She did not. I believe it's God paying us back. Every time you sacrifice your possession, be it your time, your car, your money, your anything, for the kingdom of God and for the people of God, it comes through for you. I always say to people, God does not owe any man. Stop owing God. It is voluntary. Don't forget. Everything I preach about tonight is voluntary. So you may take it on and do it. You may choose not to do it. But I promise you, the reward of doing it is bigger than not doing it. The last one is the sacrifice of purity. Purity. Psalm 51. Psalm 50 talks about that. Verse 5, Psalm 51, verse 17 talks about that as well. Psalm 50, verse 5 in particular. When this gentleman Asaph was talking, he said, look, he said, bring unto me those that are called unto God by sacrifice and consecrated to the Lord. Consecrated to the Lord. It's not every offering that God accepts. There are some offerings it doesn't accept. You can't, if you're genuinely thankful, living a life of impurity with thanksgiving don't go together. You've got to fix yourself. I remember there's a particular scripture when I was a younger believer. I said, God, help me, help me. And then he says, deliver yourself, O daughter of Zion. And I looked at it. He didn't say, I will deliver you. Did you see that? He said, deliver yourself. So there are some things you can deliver yourself from. My greatest challenge was, I will hang out with anybody, everybody, and I will comment about everything under the sun. I wanted to display knowledge. I would just comment, and I would go back there. Oh, God, I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have said that. I would sit down, and I would start thinking about all the things I did wrong during the day, and it's always by my mouth. I remember once I said I was going to fast not talking. I did not survive 30 minutes. So when I met a couple, one of my mentors, they have this practice where they fast by not talking to each other all day. Husband and wife. And they were the only ones in the house. They didn't have children. So I said, I will take everything they have to offer, but that. I just couldn't do it. We just won't talk to one another all day. So when they have things to say to each other, they actually write it down. I'm not very sure how healthy that is. But I know that they have a great relationship. I don't know how it works for them. But it couldn't have worked for me. My greatest problem was what my mouth used to get me into. I have to say my peace of mind. And my peace of mind might be so harsh. And it was harsh when I was a younger believer. It was very harsh. Because it wasn't really about you. It was about me saying what I feel like saying. You know that kind of thing? Indiscipline. That's just the only way I can put it. Outright indiscipline. And I said, God, help me, help me, help me. And it will remind me, deliver yourself, O daughter of Zion. There are things, I don't know what yours is, that's one of mine. That's not the only one. There were many things I had to fight. But that's one of mine. I don't know what yours is. Well, God is saying for me to tell you today, you are the one that will deliver yourself. Whatever it is, Because part of your thanksgiving is a sacrifice of purity. If you're genuine in your walk with God, God himself will come through for you, show himself strong on your behalf, and help you. As I finish Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29. Leviticus 22, 29. Just to let you know how this offering is meant to come. As I finish, I'll talk about the effects that you are meant to have of these things. When you do these things, what will happen for you? When you do these things, part of the effect is God will be pleased with the offering you bring. He said, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. And then God will accept it. Something happens in that Leviticus. If you go back and read it again, Leviticus chapter 7, from verse 12 through to 15, it talks about something that will happen when you bring your offering of thanksgiving. It said, the first one, when you bring it, God consumes it, because a part of it you put on the altar, and they burn it on the altar. When they burn it on the altar, the fragrance goes to heaven. You can smell it. God consumes it. That is, God is pleased with you. God is satisfied. The second bit, the Bible says that they give it to the priest, and the priest consumes it. Your pastor is satisfied. The third bit says you, the participant, will eat it, be filled, satisfied, and be full of joy. You will be satisfied. That is, when you give your sacrifice of thanksgiving, God will be pleased, your priest will be pleased, you will be pleased, your community will be pleased. When God is pleased, you know what that means. It blesses you with things you can never bless yourself with. It blesses you with favor. It blesses you with his peace. It takes care of the things that you can never take care of. Yes, it's voluntary. Yes, it's free will. But God has a massive amount of reward attached to it. I need you to begin to understand that thanksgiving is not a feeling. That's the whole point of this whole sermon. It's not a feeling. I don't feel like it. It's never about that. In fact, that's the more reason why you have to do it, because it's a sacrifice. I don't feel like it. You've got to do it because it's a choice. As I've had every reason not to, but I chose to. So today, I've spoken to you about the elements of a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I've spoken to you about the expression of a sacrifice of thanksgiving and the effect of it. I want you to rise up on your feet and pray for yourself. I don't know which aspects of the expression you struggle with, whether yours is to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving or praise is the problem, or a sacrifice of your person, or a sacrifice of your possession, or a sacrifice of purity before God. I don't know which of them is a challenge to you, or a sacrifice of praise, but I want you to lift yourself to heaven and ask for help. A sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of prayer, a sacrifice of your possession, a sacrifice of purity, a sacrifice of your person. God says it's voluntary. Give it as a free will. But the result is not voluntary. Or the result could be voluntary God's style. He can choose to bless you or otherwise. But I want you to pray for yourself, that in this month of Thanksgiving, you will not miss out on the plans that God has in stock for you.